All right, so amen. Well, our call to worship verses today will be up on the screen. And if you can go ahead and put those up there. Can you read that okay? Because I am going to have us read it all together. So let's stand as we read the scripture today, as we call us to worship, and then we'll pray, and then you can sit down for 10 seconds and then stand up again. All right, so we're just going to do it all together. And am I in anybody's way?
Yes.
All right, Victor, you can scoot over. Turkey. All right, let us hear the word of the Lord. Ready? Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Father, thank you for being such a great God that we can be thankful for. And as we begin today talking about joy for this Christmas season, I pray that you'd convict us today where we fail to be thankful and content and joyful. May this be a wonderful journey we take together, convicting us of wrong goals, of maybe seeking happiness rather than seeking Jesus. Just do a marvelous work in all of our hearts today. May we truly do as we just read, sing to you during this time, and may we rejoice as we sing. Thank you for Maggie and for the opportunity you gave her last weekend to touch her heart, and I pray, Lord, that that would continue on her life of growth for Christ. Thank you for letting us be a part. Minister to those today that can't be here. Minister to those who are sick and hurting and just lonely. And help us to be your church in this day before you come. In Christ's name, amen. I'll tell you what, you can stay standing. If you need to sit down during any of the songs, you're more than welcome to be seated. Well,
today's scripture reading is going to be from the book of Psalms, Psalm 30. Hear the word of the Lord. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosened my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word, or this from your word, the scripture. May we truly say, I will give thanks to you forever for who you are and for your amazing love and your amazing grace. Just thankful for this time that we can come here to be together as your church family, Lord. And I thank you for the messages that have been said already in the song, the praise, the testimony of Maggie. And I just pray that all today is for your honor, for your glory. And may we just always be thankful to you no matter what. And these things are praying in like glorious name. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Aren't you thrilled you're here? Yes. Not at a ball game or Walmart? Yeah. Where there's 40 checkout lanes and one's open? That'll test your joy, won't it? Right there. Every year I like to do something especially for Christmas, and starting in a little early this year, but just joining Walmart and everybody else, right? Because I've been pondering this topic for me, joy. And as I look around at people's lives, you know, it's like, is anybody happy? Anybody joyful? And does anything ever go our way? And so so this is for me. You're welcome to listen the next 4 or 5 weeks. But as I have kind of perused through the scriptures, I've just been really challenged, and I by no means have accomplished and have arrived. We never do. And I've never really liked introductory sermons and I hardly ever do topical messages. So it's going to be a little bit different for the Christmas season, but we're going to be in the Word. So today we're going to have a lot of scripture, but we're not necessarily going to say open to Matthew 3 or whatever. But we will in the days ahead, but there will be several scriptures. So if you want to write those down, or you can get the internet later. But excited to start today with joy. Joy for the Christmas season. Father, help us, Lord, to be convicted today and encouraged at the same time. It's an amazing topic. And we know, Lord, there are so many things that steal our joy. The busyness of life, people fail us, our jobs maybe don't live up to what we thought they would, and just on and on and on it goes. Heartaches, troubles, and Lord, what a wonderful truth this can be. We'll apply it to our lives. And so, Lord, however anybody today that's here walked in this building today, whether they're disgruntled, whether they're tired, whether they're thrilled to be here, whatever it is, may the Spirit of God either overrule it if it's sin or enhance it if it's obedient to your will and do a marvelous work. Because I can't do a work. It's all you. We depend upon that in Christ's name. Amen. Joy. What is it? And is it possible for you? That's the first title there of this series. What in the world is joy? And can you get it? Or is it only for preachers? Is it only for people that have a lot of money and things? What in the world is this thing called joy? I'd like to quote for you this great theologian. So listen carefully. I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed. Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. Maybe Lucy's right. Of all the Charlie Browns of the world, you're the Charlie Browniest, right? Great theologian, right? You know, maybe today you identify with Charlie Brown. Not just at Christmas time, but maybe all the time. I just don't feel the way I think I'm supposed to feel. Something's wrong. And sadly, instead of us looking in our heart, we try to find something to blame or someone to blame. Joy is an issue of the heart, my heart. You know, our Christmas songs are filled with a theme of joy, aren't they? Joy to the world, which really is a second coming song, but we translate it to a Christmas song. So this song says the entire world gets joy. Joyful all ye nations rise, all the nations. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. Already we see this theme, don't we? Joy can go to everybody. Here's one that just loved the word joy. How great our joy. Great our joy. Joy, joy, joy. Joy, joy, joy. Yes, that's a Christmas song. How about a thrill of hope? The weary world rejoices. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Good Christian men rejoice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Joy, joy. Jesus Christ was born for this. One Christmas hymn I wasn't too familiar with says, our day of joy is here again. And what about all the songs that don't necessarily have the word joy in them, but there are expressions of joy? It's the most wonderful time of the year. Walmart is calling and Target is calling and bears and whatever. Stuffed bears, whatever. Do you get stuffed bears anymore? No, you just get socks. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Hearts will be glowing. Is your heart glowing today? Hearts will be glowing. And loved ones are near. For some people, their loved ones are not near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. However, much of the time, we fail to experience this joy, don't we? One of the Christmas carols and hymn books, the author said, and in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song, peace on earth, goodwill to men. So here we have this sort of dilemma. We've got joy is available, but this hymn writer nailed it, did he not? Hate is strong. And it just mocks the song of joy and peace, and it's the most wonderful time of the year. You know, if you peruse through the Bible writers, they're very honest, aren't they? As Maggie said, your letters were very, what was the word you used? Brutally honest. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Have you ever been there? I've been there. And you look kind of, your soul's in here somewhere. You look down at yourself. Why are you in turmoil in my soul? Elijah spoke these words. He asked that he might die. Remember that? Here's what Elijah said. It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. He had a great failure in his life. Have you ever been there? It's enough. I've had it. It's enough. I can't take it anymore. You ever been there? I can't take it. By the way, that's always a lie. If you're a Christian, that's always a lie. But that, here's a lie. Wasn't Elijah an awesome servant of God? Isn't it awesome that you read these servants of God who are just like you and just like me? Isn't that neat? Aren't you glad that they're not up here where I can never attain to that? Remember Jonah? Therefore now, O Lord, please take away my life from me. It is better for me to die than to live. Now, we know why Jonah wanted to die. He didn't want God to save those evil people. So Elijah and Jonah and the psalmist all had different circumstances, but they all described that life is not easy. And life can be very hard. And there isn't always joy, but we're going to learn that joy can be there, even though it might not be singing, and that's in the weeks ahead. So different circumstances reflected what was going on in their heart. It's always what's going on in your heart. I guess I found out that Peyton, is she in class? Oh yeah, but Mama's not. So I come home the other day and I open the medicine cabinet to find something. I don't know what I was looking for. And we have this little crate in there full of Band-Aids. I guess my wife thinks you can never have enough Band-Aids. There must be 45,000 Band-Aids in this little box. But Peyton apparently got a Band-Aid and put the little box on top of some towels, leaning up against the door. So I open the door and whoosh, there are Band-Aids everywhere. So I sang, it's the most wonderful. No, I didn't. I was not a happy camper. But you know, everything like that is a reflection of what's going on in our invisible heart. Always go to the heart. Always go to the heart. You know, I think most everybody desires to be happy. And I think happiness is related to joy, but joy goes much deeper. And Christians would certainly say, you know, I really desire to be joyful. Wouldn't you desire to be joyful? You know, the alarm goes off at 10 till 5 or whenever your alarm goes off. And you think when you're retired, you'll sleep really late. I've heard people tell me once they retire, they get up earlier than ever. They wake up and go, I wish I could sleep, but I got to get up. That's just a curse us old people have, right? Most all of us would love to get up and have the joy of the Lord as our strength, as Nehemiah said. And we'll get to that passage, not today. But So in this first introductory message, to sort of wet our whistle and to kind of get us excited about this, hopefully. We just want to see, what does joy mean? And can you get it? Or maybe you already have it and you don't know it. So let's start with, first of all, what is it? What is it, right? Joy, what is it? First of all, we want to look at a horizontal definition. Now, if you're not good at big words, horizontal means this way. All right, got it? You know, if you look at the horizon, it's this way. If you're flying a plane and it looks this way, you're doing good. If it's this way, you're going to crash and die. So horizontal. I looked up some definitions. Here are some dictionaries. The emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. So we learn from a horizontal definition that it does involve some emotion. Webster said the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires to get. All right? So we do have emotion listed twice. The Free Dictionary online said it's an intense and especially ecstatic or exultant happiness or an instance of such feeling. Now, I know that we have Baptist in our church name right now, and we are not allowed to be ecstatic or excited. And by the way, the next community group lesson talks about singing with gusto. So be prepared. So we got emotion, we've got delight, we've got expecting something, we've got being excited and exultant. The Free Dictionary said, oh, I just read that one. Here's just one internet provider said, it's a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. So we know it's something inside of us, according to this horizontal definition. Well, then I decided to travel through the world of the internet and just type in the subject of joy and to try to find out, how can I get this joy? How can I go outside and scrape my icy windows because I can't get in my garage and sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord? How can I get that bad news? Well, here's what I discovered that the world teaches us on a horizontal level. Are you ready for this? You might want to write these down because you don't want to forget these. These are awesome. Go to the theater. People are the happiest at a show. So if your puppy gets run over, go to the theater. Volunteer to do something. Practice forgiveness. Get a house plant. So if I see you in the lawn and garden section at Lowe's, I know you're having hard times, okay? Get a house plant, and most of you will probably kill that house plant, but dance. Go dance. Take a walk. How about this? Dance while you walk. Let's combine the two. Surround yourself with the color blue. So while you're in the plant section at Lowe's, go to the paint section at Lowe's and buy you some blue. You know, Will and Faith are going to be painting their new house, so just paint it all blue. I don't know if a dark shade or hang around Tim. He has a blue shirt on. Whatever. Get around blue, all right? Name your dog blue. Whatever. I guess that doesn't count. Now, I find this interesting because this same article said practice forgiveness, but then it said stop saying I'm sorry. But it gave a definition. Quote, science tells us that those of us who avoid apologies are happier than those who own up to their blunders. Refusing to apologize actually gives us a sense of power and entitlement. So if everybody follows that one, nobody can follow the other one. Practice forgiveness. Are you kidding me? Don't believe that science. Now, you're going to love this one, and I highly recommend it if you can get it juicy and tender. Eat more steak. So go to Logan's Roadhouse or wherever and eat more steak. Wow. That's what the world, and all of the websites pretty much had the same thing. So all of them involved really nothing with the heart or nothing with God. It's just go do something. So here's what we've learned horizontally. This thing, joy, seems to be something everybody wants, whether you're a Christian or whether you're whatever. It is a strong feeling. can be very emotional at times. It is a result of getting what you want. It is a result of being successful. It's a result of anticipating something that you really want. That's kind of fun, isn't it? You know, if you got your tickets to Hawaii, you're pretty excited and joyful about that, right? And you know you'll get sick the couple days before the flight, right? It involves doing things that make you feel good, right? But it's interesting to note that on this purely horizontal thinking level, there is an admission that joy is missing, right? It's just sort of unspoken, but it's missing. So I got to go out and do something. And it's amazing how the world realizes something's missing, but they go in the wrong direction in order to get it. Or maybe they have a little bit and they want a lot more of this thing called joy. Now, and all these definitions aren't totally wrong. There are some elements of biblical truth in these, which we'll see in the next few weeks. It's not wrong to be excited. It's not wrong to anticipate something. It's not wrong, you know, to be a little bit loud at times and joyful, or to do a jig or whatever. But these left me sort of lacking, because I hardly ever order steak because it always comes with this gristle in it. And I just, you know, why waste $10, right? So I just get the salad because chickens are better. But these questions came to my mind. What's the true source of joy? Is there a pool, so to speak? Is there a person? Where do I get this real joy? What happens to joy if my life turns sour? Anybody here in your years on earth never have a time of season of life when it didn't turn sour? What happens to joy? Is joy powerless if I don't get my way or what I want? Is it powerless? Now, here's one that's very important. Is joy to be the pursuit of my life? Isn't the preamble that says the pursuit of happiness? Somebody help me. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Is happiness and joy to be our pursuit? I mean, the Bible talks a lot about it, but is that our pursuit? Or is our pursuit of something or someone that results in joy? Does my heart have anything to do with joy? Or is it all purely outward? In other words, am I a slave to my boss? Am I a slave to my health, how I'm feeling? Am I a slave to everything going right? Am I a slave of having a good hair day? Am I a slave of my kids being perfect? Am I a slave of my wife always looking like she's 25? She's in the nursery, and I can say that. And I love my wife, the way she looks. There I'm covered, right? But a lot of people are a slave to that. Am I a slave to how a friend of mine's haircut looks? Sorry, private. He's going, well, I believe him. I will never come back here again. You know, am I a slave to my paycheck? Am I a slave to people liking me? We're a slave to a lot of things, aren't we, that steal our joy? And if you'll be honest with me, isn't that a struggle? It's a struggle. And we're going to talk about life isn't always skipping down the yellow brick road when things go wrong. Did not Jesus weep? And he is joy. So we'll talk about that. That's an awesome way to look at this. We'll get that in the days ahead. So is it purely outward? If I lose joy, can I ever get it back? And a lot of people think if they're having a blue day, isn't that something? Blue is supposed to be feeling good, but we call blue bad. Isn't it how? Just stick with the Bible and you'll be okay, right? But some people think, you know, if they're having those seasons where it's tough and they don't have energy and the outlook on life is not hard, well, I'm just stuck here. This is the way it's always going to be. Is that true? If I lose joy, can I ever get it back? And what things in life steal our joy? There's a lot of joy stealers out there, a lot of thieves out there. What things in my mind and thinking steal joy? So there's a horizontal definition right there. Now, we're still on this point here of what is it. So now let's talk about a vertical definition, what the Bible says. Joy. You know how the hymn writers, joy, 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 joy. Why did they always use the word joy? So now let's talk about vertically between God and us, God to man. Here is just a basic definition. Joy is a feeling of happiness that is based on spiritual realities. Now, this is the one I want you to get. It is a deep sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows that all is well between himself and God. It is deep inside our soul. It is meno. The Greek word meno means to remain. It abides at meno. It remains in us because we know no matter what happens on the outside, all is well between a holy, righteous God and a redeemed sinner. That is joy. Well, I don't feel joyful. We'll hold that thought. R.C. Sproul said this, "The joy of the Spirit is as stable as it is exhilarating. It is the joy that abides in the midst of suffering. It has depth." You see, you might eat a steak and feel good for a while, but it doesn't last. This has depth. It penetrates the soul. I pray every week, God, penetrate the people's soul who come on Sunday. I cannot do it. Penetrate. Get down deep in the soul. It sends despair into exile and banishes pessimism. It produces confidence without an arrogance, courage without bravado. Jesus of Nazareth was able to weep, yet his tears could not dissolve the joy he knew in his Father's house. Great quote. I think I have some of that in the bulletin that I sent. So there's a vertical definition. Now let's see how it was played out in the Old Testament. Now grab onto this. This is the Old Testament word joy. It is associated with singing. Now, there are times not to sing. We'll talk about that. But joy is associated with actually singing. It's associated with dancing and enthusiasm. Oh, there he is again, enthusiasm. And most of us probably grew up in churches that were pretty reserved, right? Don't you dare walk in and be enthusiastic, right? Because you're hopped up on something if you are, especially if you grew up in the 60s, maybe. But it did. The Old Testament saints, I mean, they sang and they danced and they sang loud. They had feasts. They praised God. They gave to others, which is an expression of joy, and they gave to the poor. So in the Old Testament, the definition of joy was a focus on who God is and what he's done. Who is God? And by the way, you'll never have joy if you don't know who God is. And that's, we're going to hit that heavy. Maybe next week, I'm not sure yet which one we're going to hit next week. Who God is and what he's done, that's joy. So that person at work or that boyfriend, that girlfriend, that fiance, that whatever, rejected you. But who is your God? He said, I will never reject you. And while there's pain in the soul, there's also joy because I know who my God is. And I just got fired or I just got rejected or the doctor just said, I'm not going to live much longer. Or my puppy got ran over. Or your turkey got burnt. Pray that none of your turkeys got burnt, but we'll be joyful if they do for this afternoon. Whatever it is, it's because I know in the account books of heaven, the blood of Christ has redeemed my soul, has covered my sin, has made me white as snow. My sins are cast in the depths of the sea as far as the east is from the west. And this big God loves me as much as he could ever love me. He'll never stop. That's joy. You may have a lousy preacher, a lousy pastor, lousy elders, lousy church members next to you. Seats that are unraveling, it doesn't matter. Because in the books of heaven, my God loves this sinner. That's joy. That's Old Testament joy. It was experienced in the heart, but it was also displayed by outward action. Listen to Psalm 43:4. Privately, the psalmist said, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Oh, God is to be my exceeding joy, not anything else. Now, don't get me wrong, and we'll talk about this. Introductory message, I always say, we'll talk about this. So I'll try to stop saying that. We'll save 15 minutes if I'll stop saying that, and if I'll stop explaining it. Okay, here we go. God gives us a husband and a wife. That's a part of our joy, is it not? I hope you find joy in your mate and your kids or some of them. All the blessings, your job, your gifts, your talents, abilities. You know, I was thinking the other day, boy, somebody I know got false teeth. They lived in Illinois, and I thought, you know, I wonder if I ever get false teeth, could I play my horn? And I thought, man, that'd be horrible if I couldn't play my horn. But I could still have joy. Maybe I could play it out in my ear. I'm not sure. Exceeding joy is God. And I will praise you with my lyre, O God, my God. But it's also done in a group. All of us, and it's together, Psalm 42:4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng, that's a bunch of people, and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. So you and I ought to alone praise God. I heard Abby and Amanda talking about writing music as they were practicing and just how sometimes that just kind of comes upon you and you can really sense God moving you. And I do that sometimes. I'll be in the car making up my own songs, singing, or in my head, or wherever you are in God's word. We sing and we praise God privately. But the scriptures say we get together as a throng, as a multitude, and we can shout to the Lord and we can sing to the Lord. And tonight at our Thanksgiving dinner, you get a chance to praise God with the multitudes. So it's done privately in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and it's also done in a group. 1 Kings 1:40. And all the people went up after him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth was split by their noise. All right, that's our goal. Between now and Christmas, to split the earth with our noise. All right? All the people. Now let's jump, we're still here, in what is it? Let's jump real quick to the New Testament. The new covenant. We've been learning in Revelation, old covenant people, new covenant people, we are all one, people of God. There are some distinctions, but people of God. Do you know in the New Testament, joy can be not from God at all? That's why you have to be very careful if it feels good, do it philosophy. Because a lot of things can feel good where God says, don't you do that. Remember the parable of the soils, Matthew 13, 20 and 21. Where it says, as what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who heard the word of God and immediately receives it with joy. But Jesus said, yet there's no root. It endures for a little while. They look good. But when tribulation, persecution arises on account of the word of God, immediately that person falls away. So you have to be careful to not base joy on just a feeling. Joy can be there vertically when you feel like garbage. When your heart is broken. Luke 2:10 tells us that this New Testament joy, which goes along with Old Testament joy, can be very intense. You ever intense? I'll be honest, I wouldn't mind seeing some of you a little more intense. You know, just a little bit, you know. A little bit, you know. And I know most of us are reserved and we got to really make ourselves. But we get intense at the ball games, don't we? And I'm not going to say one word about the Central Bears going to state championship game. I'm not going to say a word about it. All right? But what did it say? I bring you good news of what kind of joy? Great joy. The angel said, I'm bringing you good news that stinks. Don't you smile and don't you rejoice and don't you laugh and don't you show any exhilaration because this news stinks. Is that what the angel said? I am bringing you good news of great joy. And the shepherds lay there and said, listen, would you go away? We're drinking our coffee. The shepherds are the only ones that got up and went. Isn't that amazing? To check it out. So joy can be intense. It isn't always intense like that, but it can be. Let's see, Luke 15:7. It says, there'll be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Now remember what we learned in Revelation, that we are related to our brothers and sisters in heaven right now. And there is joy in heaven of our brothers and sisters who have gone before us, joy with Christ, joy with the angels. So it's experienced in heaven right now. There is joy in heaven when people repent. Joy when you have prayer answered. John 16:24, ask that you may receive and your joy can be half empty. Full. Full. You ever have a prayer answered? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome, Barbie? Isn't that awesome? When God overrules an insurance company? You know you got a big God when that happens, right? Yeah. And I love Romans 14:17. In fact, I'm going to turn there. And you know, in the New Testament, it was so hard for them to get away from the feasts and the festivals from the Jewish system that was pointing to Christ. It was a constant struggle to break those people from that. Listen to Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating. It's not a matter of drinking. But the kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So joy is not external observances from a feast or a festival or eating or drinking. God's kingdom is reigning invisibly in your hearts and my heart today, and joy is evidence of being in the kingdom of God. So if you have no biblical joy, you better be asking God if you're his child. Seriously. If there is no joy in the Word of God, and there's no joy in being with God's people, if there's no joy in being surrounded by the Word, if there's no joy of singing the songs of God, if there's no biblical joy of serving others, if there's no joy of anticipation of what God is doing in your life and in your children's life and in your friend's life, you better get on your knees and say, God, something's wrong. Show me what it is. Am I your child? Or maybe sin has stepped in. Because it says the kingdom of God in our hearts is a matter of joy, invisible things. Now, the visible kingdom is coming, right? Revelation 19, but it will come. You know, Matthew 28:8. What did they do when they went to the tomb and they came to anoint the body of Jesus? And the stones rolled away? And the angel said, what are you doing here? He is not here, he is risen. Remember the verse? It says they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and with what? Great joy. So one of the horizontal definitions was anticipating something, and that's true. They anticipated that Jesus had risen, they're going to see him again, and it brought great joy. We ought to have great joy knowing that he's coming again. And this rotten, sinful, broken, horrible world that as I get older, I'm getting more sick of as every day goes on. This joy that this is not the end and Jesus is coming. But there is joy when we anticipate what God's going to do. That's a great thing. But what is the true source of joy? It's God. Listen to Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Why did he say that? Because it's the same verse in Romans 15 that we read about the kingdom. May God fill you with joy and peace in believing. Why? Or so that purpose, the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in you in hope. God is the source, not the steak, not buying something you want, not going to Hawaii, not your kids being on the honor roll, not your kids being great sports stars, not your kids being great musician, not your husband being awesome. Those are things that can bring us joy, but the pool, the ocean depths of joy is God that comes from his throne. That's the joy. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the second one? Joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and long-suffering and meekness. So we know the Spirit of God is going to be producing in us joy. So how does God, the Spirit, produce that in us? How does he grow joy in us? He takes us through what? Trials and hard times. To grab our heart and help us to realize what's important and what is not. So you and I can know this, that if you're his child, the Holy Spirit is trying to produce joy in you. And he is going to take you into specific situations so you can kind of have your heart opened up and you can realize, ooh, I was making that my joy. That's why I was so unhappy. I was making that my joy. The Spirit of God wants to produce. And by the way, what does fruit do when you plant the seed? It grows because it's watered, and the same thing with the Spirit's fruit. It grows. And by the way, you can't separate these fruits. They represent Jesus, and you have them all, you don't have any, I believe. So in other words, though, if the Spirit is growing joy in your life, and it does grow, that means you haven't arrived yet, right? Now, you may be far beyond where you used to be, but we'll never be where we should be. But we should be growing, right? So there's always going to lack a little something, right? But hopefully you can say, wow, I got a long way to go, but I can look back 5 years ago, a month ago, or whatever, and realize God's really grown me. And he wants to grow you in joy. Just a couple more before we land the plane here and put the second point up. It comes from the Lord. Now, you got to grab this. It does come from God, but we're also commanded to rejoice. Listen to Philippians 4:4. Rejoice is the word kairo, which we get from the word kairos, which is grace. It's a command. It's an imperative in the Greek. You rejoice in the Lord always. And I'm going to say it again, rejoice. So we experience God's grace and we are glad for God's grace. So while it all comes from God, we must choose to rejoice. And that comes from choosing to know who God is and what he's done in our life and apply the word of God to our lives. So here is our simple definition before we get to the second, which the second point is the conclusion. It is a deep sense of well-being that abides in the heart of each of us because we know all is well between God and us. Now, hang on. Conclusion. Here's the second point here. Joy, is it for me? What about you? You might be saying this. Okay, that's great. That sounds good. Just like all this. It just sounds great. But what about me? You don't know my life. You don't know my problems. You don't know my burdens, my heartaches, my struggles, my worries. You don't know my questions, and you don't know all of my burdens. No, I don't. But who does? God does. And your question in your life may just be, you know what? The most wonderful time of the year and all year, it's just not for me. Listen carefully to John 15. Just listen carefully. Verses 10 and 11. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you in my word that you're to keep, that my joy may be inside you and that your joy may be full and complete. Let me read one more verse, John 17, 13. Jesus said, now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Did you read those? Did you hear that in those two verses? This says that the very joy that Jesus possessed is yours if you will keep his commandments and abide in his love. So is it available for you, a child of God? The answer is absolutely yes. If you keep his word, love him, abide in him, confess sin, he says, my joy will be deep down inside you. And that's how you make it through those difficult times in life. When your loved one passes away, when you don't have answers to questions, when there is pressures and burdens on you, and every day is like when you lay down in your bed, I made it through another day. You ever do that? I do. I do. Wow, I made it through another day. And then my phone rings in at 2 a.m. and I got to get up and start at 2 a.m. Then it rings again at 5 a.m. Then I finally get in bed the next day. Lord, thank you. I made it through another day. Isn't this amazing? The very joy. You know, some people say, I want to go to the Holy Land and I want to walk on the very ground that Jesus walked. Listen, I'm going to burst some people's bubbles. Big deal. That was horrible, wasn't it? Now, it would be cool, wouldn't it, to be there? I'm not saying that. It would. But there is no power in trying to walk on the same. No, it was over here. No, it was over here. He was baptized. I mean, that would be cool, wouldn't it, to see and put some of these Bible stories together sort of visually. It really doesn't mean anything in your heart. But here Jesus says, I'm going to heaven. But if you'll keep my word and abide in me and love me, I'm going to give you my joy. Wow. You can be just like Jesus. And the Spirit of God is going to be producing that in your life because he wants you to be like Jesus. He wants to exalt Jesus. So joy is a spiritual issue of obedience of the Lord. A joy that Jesus has, that Jesus gives. And that's the only joy that he gives, his joy. That's the only joy he gives. Not from a stake. Not forgiving people like that idiot wrote. I said that in love. It is available to you. It is available to me. Let me close with a quick quote here from Dr. Ed Welch. Writes some terrific things on discouragement and depression. And maybe this is you today, and I think all of us would say, boy, I really need the joy of Christ. Quote, you are on two roads, faith or isolated independence. On the road of faith, you are seeking and following God. You're calling out to him. You don't understand what is happening in your life. But you have not lost sight of how the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ assures you that he is good. You feel like you are walking in the dark, but in your best moment, you are putting one foot in front of the other as an expression of your trust in God. Whether you know it or not, you are being heroic. On this path, although you are suffering, you are still able to notice and marvel that God's Spirit is empowering you to trust Him through darkness and pain. I think something must be wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. Oh, I love getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that stuff. But I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed. And Linus, the great psychologist, or whatever you want to call him, Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. Maybe Lucy's right. Of all the Charlie Browns of the world, you're the Charlie Brownies. Maybe that's you today. Not just in Christmas, but maybe most of your life. Maybe you feel like you are the Charlie Browniest. And even though today we've just scratched the surface and sort of whet our appetite, introduced this series, I hope God will break our hearts and grow us and change us. And we'll see Him as we've never seen Him before. And praise Him as we've never praised Him before. Seek Him, not joy, as we've maybe never sought Jesus before. Our risen, glorious Savior in obedience and faith. And then just maybe that will turn to be an encouragement to each other. Have you ever been around a joyous person? Aren't they infectious? You know what I'm talking about. You go to work and you're not upset if they're sick that day. That person's sick. You go, wow, great. But sometimes there's people that are not there. Oh, man. Because they just have this energy and this expression of joy. I hope you'll join me on this journey in the next few weeks. Father, I don't know. Maybe there are some today here that they're putting on a good front. Deep down in their heart, there's no joy. It's no strength of the Lord. It seems like fear and worry is a huge boulder on their back. I pray, God, if there's anyone here today like that, that they would commit the next few weeks to this study. I mean, truly commit to it. And pray over it. And come expecting and asking you to speak to their heart and to speak to other people's hearts. So that we might glorify your Son and that we might be a shining testimony to others. Life is hard. Life hurts. And what a wonderful gift you've given us. Joy. Knowing that all is well. When there are earthquakes and tornadoes and storms all around us in our life, down in the deepest part of our soul, all is well. Teach us, I pray by faith in Christ's name.